afternoon. Today is Wednesday, March 12th, 71st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, still upright, still doing his job, still Chairman Rex Bone.
And having a good time and appreciating Humboldt County.
Are you liking being chair?
Yeah, that was it. It was kind of imposing at first, but I like it. And I mean, I work with four very passionate individuals, as I said last night, and who have a distinct ways that they serve Humboldt County, but they're all for the positive, and you have to appreciate that.
Most times. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about those meetings that occurred last week. Also, we've got an update on the trails. We'll get an update with the homeless stuff as some of those things are starting to come together also. And whatever else may pop into either of our feeble minds when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Martin Luther. Period. No third name on this one.
Okay,
Martin Luther. Quote, human reason is like a drunken man on horseback. Set it up on one side and it tumbles over on the other.
I saw one the other day that said, democracy is the most stable form of government, but alas, it is also the most fragile.
Yeah. Boy, aren't they proving that one.
Yeah.
All over the place. Do you guys get involved with any of that stuff? I mean, are there any trickles? I would think the knee-jerk reaction, well, it was a stupid question. No, of course not. But when the feds start doing stuff and then the state starts,
the trickle down on expenses is amazing. I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, you've had Bill Damiano on here and stuff like that. When you talk about AB 109 and the prison realignment and things like that, I mean, that was a huge trickle down for our county, and we're seeing it both in the probation department, we're both seeing it in the jail, and we're also seeing it in the upsweep of violent and nonviolent crime.
Yeah, so, it's a trickle may be a word. Some situations may be more of a waterfall.
Yeah, no, and trickle's probably a bad word. But you do that, and I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but I do know that when the governor, you know, that when they say, we'll send these back to you because you know how to handle them better. Well, a lot of the times when they send back a probationary person to the county that they created the crime in, it's not necessarily the county that they live in. It's the county they caught in. Yeah. And so they have no family base here and everything else. So the cycle starts all over. It's just that we've got them. And
now, I thought it was the not where the crime was, but where the family was located.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around.
No, maybe I'm wrong. It might be, so, you know, you establish residency in how quick in Humboldt County? 3-4 days?
Oh, it's a little bit longer. I mean, for general relief, it's like, if you can do something like that, it's almost 180 days or something. I mean, it's quite a bit for that.
You have to be in the neighborhood for a while.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I should check on that, but that's the way I understood it. But either way, we're getting people, usually if they've gone away to prisons, a lot of them are estranged from their families also. But AB 109 is the one that sticks on us because it touches us all.
Yeah, but there's been a lot of other cost-shifting things that have gone on over the last years and decades that are just compounding
the health and human services aspects.
Is there any pushback from CSAC or the state counties? Is it getting any traction whatsoever, or is Brown and the leadership still going do and pushing some of their goofy projects?
Well, and you know, this year we're passing a budget that I would call an election budget. We're hitting education, we're hitting, you know, jobs, we're hitting, you know, we're going to make this easy for you, that easy, you know, which means it's an election year. I mean, 2 years ago, we were, you know, $20 billion in the hole, and now we're expected in 2015 to have a $15 billion excess. I mean, that is a lot of that excess is coming out our cost.
Doing that?
Yeah, I mean, the towns or counties aren't doing that. So robbing Peter to pay Paul, and then saying, "Hey, we're doing great." Well, you're not doing that great if you think you're winning the war, but all your soldiers are dying. I mean, it's just a tough. I mean, you can't say that when all our counties, very few counties are having the boom that and the state's nowhere near having a boom, but I mean the financial boom that
surplus
the state
like that
yeah
would
the
qualify.
Surplus yeah.
So why isn't CSAC? Why aren't our elected regionals that are serving in Sacramento saying, you know, if we have a surplus, we've pounded the counties, we've pounded the cities for decades. Why don't we give them a one time to help cover? Whether it's AB 109 or whether it's the shift in the property tax, the delayed or non-paid PILT dollar,
well,
whatever it might happen
CSAC,
to be.
CSAC and RCRC, both of those have really jumped. Wolk has brought on a bill for PILT, the paid in lieu taxes, both on the state end and the federal end. But the state end, I mean, I think on the state end of the deal, I think the county is owed over the last 9 years $497,000.
Per year or over that?
No, cumulative over that. But I mean, still $497,000. That's three deputies. I mean, that's huge monies.
What is the cost of AB 109 so far to Mike, to Downey, to Bill Damiano, to Andy, and all the guys at the city level? What does that cost? Does anybody have an estimate? I'd go after that dollar. So
yeah.
You know what, guys? You got all this money. Instead of stacking it in the corner there in the treasury, let's send it back. Here's what Humboldt County it is. Here's what the impact has been in Del Norte, Trinity, Mendocino. Yeah, use Wes's district. Why not?
Yeah.
And lay it all out and say, you know, why aren't you battling for this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, to make us even with what you did to us 2 years ago?
It sounds so easy, doesn't it?
And
it's
the
easy and the obvious at times seems so unattainable. And I mean, a perfect case in point is the jail expansion.
Of course.
You know, and we call it a jail expansion, but over half of that is going to be office space and space for mental health, probation, to prepare these people. People go to jail.
More of a processing center.
Yeah, processing out, not processing in, processing out and processing why they're incarcerated, drug treatment, job placement, job training, basically showing them there's a chance or an opportunity on the way out. Somewhere, the biggest thing we could do, if we could stop 20% of the cycle of going back and forth, we'd be way ahead of the game.
KINS, News and Information Times 319.
Sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good...
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, last week you guys had the public budget, internet...
No, we did that
all that kind of stuff. Did it hit what you were hoping that it would have accomplished?
What we want to accomplish is to get people involved with the budget process. As I stated in the paper and as I stand by, there are so many innovative and smart people that say, hey, I did this in my business, or we did this here and it worked. Have you guys thought about trying this? Ideas. And what we want to do is get as many ideas as possible and then run them through the budget team, the CAO's team, the supervisors, and maybe we can incorporate those things. But the thing is, if we can save 0.5%, a half a percent, we're in the $1 million.
Yeah, you know? Multiplies out
real quick. And it doesn't take that much to do that, just little things. And the nice thing about it, we have some great elected officials and, you know, department heads, and we've got some great department heads who are coming up with some ideas on their own. And you know, there's so much innovation. I mean, the old idea is spending money to save money. There are technological advances out there where we can do some things, where we can spend some money to save some money. So we're not doing everything so much manually and looking for things. And there, it's just so many ways to pick up the process.
One of the things that seemed to be getting some traction, and I don't know if it still is, and we don't hear about it, or if it lost momentum, and we don't hear about it, is pool buying from all the different governmental entities. You know, paper, say. You know, God knows everybody has enough paper, right? One central purchasing, whether it's the county or whoever it is, and have a distribution house. Pencils and staples and et cetera, ink and all that kind of good stuff. And have one account, one contact, and take advantage of the huge volume discounts that somebody would for an account of that size and not worry about it.
Double-edged sword. For one thing, we have this warehouse. Now we have to man it and ship it and deliver it and everything else.
But everybody's got people that are staffing now in their smaller little areas. So that might be that could be a horizontal.
You know, for as many people as we have 2.5 people in charge of purchasing. So
for you add in Fortuna and Eureka and Arcata and all the remaining cities and special districts, and probably the schools too. Put it all together, and I bet you could have 5 people there and still be able to realize some kind of a discount.
What most of the companies have done, a lot of the big companies realized they saw this, and they realized if they're going to allow their smaller vendors in rural areas to be independent, but still, you know, but still be part of this buy, they have government contracts, government buying. I mean, I don't want to throw John Deere under the bus, but John Deere has a government purchasing program where the Army pays the same price as Humboldt County because they get a special discount, and it's a pretty good discount.
So some of those things are already in place.
They're in place by the big companies because they realized if they're going to play on this stage, otherwise we would be buying from some guy out of Stockton who has 3,000 tractors and has the best buying power of anybody and stuff like that. But what does it do us any good if we don't have any sales tax dollars and keeping our local people? You know, we're no different than anybody else. We push the buy local, keep local. We started Humboldt Made and it's out on its own and stuff like that. But we also try to help as many as our local vendors as possible. I mean, I'm not saying we could go out of the area and buy cars and get them cheaper, but it's sure great
when you see the plates.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden you come in and you're buying 10 times the volume,
yeah,
I would think the local guy, whoever they are,
yeah,
would then be able to go to their distributor and say, hey, I'm now a big boy. What discount do I have? And then push that through the system.
I think most of the big companies are passing that discount on to their smaller vendors with that same thing, because at the end of the day, the guy at the top of, you know, the tower in Detroit or, you know, Michigan or whatever, wherever the big company stays, he's going to get his percentage whether it's a little guy or a big guy. So it's just, and if the government entity gets that pass on. But a lot of that's in place. But I think in a lot of the more suburban areas, you know, the more larger population areas, I think there is a lot of pool buying and things like that. And I think that's what's driven the bus to help the rural purchaser.
That's what I would, for me, you know, being a fan of networking, you know, when you call your whoever in San Francisco or some of the larger ones and say, how did you guys, 5 or 6 years ago, when things started getting really, really squeaky, what were the top 5 things that you guys did to save money?
Yeah.
Were they real obvious things or were they surprise things? And I would like to think you wouldn't have to go out and reinvent the wheel, that there are already people who have done some of this stuff in the past that you could just get a couple lists from and go, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
And be able to trigger it quickly because it's already in that structure of county government and state government and federal government, so you wouldn't have to worry about vetting it through all the legal stuff
and
all the contract stuff.
Does
and
this
all
work?
The labor
it,
union.
Can we do it? It works there. Do we really need to spend all this time going over it if it works next door?
Implement it tomorrow rather than next month.
Do we need to vet it that much? And again, purchasing, legal. I mean, so many of those things. And I think that's what probably helps us with, you know, belonging to to so many, you know, somebody says, do you need to belong to all these associations, CSAC, RC and stuff? Yeah, because it gives us a voice that we normally wouldn't be heard. I mean, at the end, you know, at the end of the day.
And peers that you can make quick contact with, and you know who you're talking to.
Well, I was in San Jose on a leadership conference last week, and it was I drove down one day and then came back the next, but I mean, I spent 2 days down there. And I was paired for one exercise with the CAO of Orange County. And for quite a while. And it was very interesting listening to him and some of his takes on his public life and how they have saved money. Because you got to understand, like I said, if we could save 2% on our buying power, look at the amount of money we could save. So these are big things. Everything's on the table for us right now.
It's 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. You never know what happens during the commercial breaks around this joint. We're back with Rex Bone. Rex, the concept of that community forest, quote unquote, and I don't know if it has a name yet, at the end of Hubbard in the Eureka area. Nobody said anything about it in the last little bit. It's certainly part of the city's desire for annexation. Heard that from a number of different folks. Tying in with the trails, public safety, homelessness, all that kind of stuff is all, for some of us, it's all kind of, it's one ball. What is the status?
You just hate the idea of this place, don't you?
It's not that I hate it. You talked about maintenance issues. You talked about public safety. We've talked about homelessness. We've talked about all these things. I don't see that Eureka can manage what Eureka has right now.
Let
alone expand and add in, and now we've got more challenges at Harrison for traffic.
My problem my problems are twofold. I can't disagree with you. But in the position I sit in, and
you
knowing,
say no
and,
comment
and,
too.
No, because people want to know, and to tell you, I think the first week of April we're going to have another public meeting out at Redwood Acres. This will be the final one before it comes before the board to see if we're going to do it. I had a meeting
to buy it or to allow Eureka to annex it.
See, now you have to understand. There's a big difference. We're not buying it. We're accepting it. Trust for public lands. Trust for public lands.
Not my own.
Yes, because that's a miss. A lot of people think, how can we afford this $7 million forest? Well, first and foremost, it borders one of our largest, largest rural urban areas, Cutton, out to Myrtletown. But you have to think a little bit farther. Our growth has been very nil the last few years. We actually lost people this last year, I guess. But if you're thinking 50 years in advance, I don't know how much we're going to grow. I don't think it's going to be a lot, but
if we look backwards, it's pretty easy to tell that flat thing is going to continue.
I mean, if we do what we did last year, we're not going to do a lot, but there's going to be, we have to provide some recreation for them, and we need to provide
it closer.
So what's
wrong with Sequoia Park, with Carson Park, with Ross Park, with the infrastructure the city already has?
But people want to take their dogs and go for a long walk. They want to take their mountain bikes and go for a long. I mean, you got to understand. Sequoia Park, 63 acres. I grew up in Sequoia Park. You can do it in an hour and be done.
Right.
So if we're gonna put, if you put 60 people in Sequoia Park all walking the trails, it's just basically like being Old Town without concrete, because that's a lot of people in one area.
And there are a lot of more people walking today out on
there's
the.
There's
the
a lot of people
and
want
stuff,
and they're mountain biking. I mean, the success of the Arcata trails is a perfect case point. They started with a lot of land to begin with because of their watershed. So they've expanded since then.
The maintenance of it, though. I mean, that's one thing. I think Dave Tyson was probably the one that finally clinked me in the head about that. It's not the initial. It's the ongoing annual expenses.
Well, we're actually in the stages of doing, believe it or not, a little bit of fundraising. We're working with the seller and the buyer who's going to give it to us to give us some seed money for maintenance the first few years. Now, you have to understand, we could just take it and not do anything for a few years. But after that, our projections are showing with a normal growth of timber prices and the normal rate increase of harvest, within about 10 to 15 years, it becomes a capital plus for us. It becomes a cash flow. We actually make more.
So it's a liability for the first 10 years?
It's not a liability, but it's not a liability. We think we can do, we're trying to get to net neutral, because my big thing is I can't accept it and cost a sheriff deputy. I can't accept it and cost a road maintenance person. I can't accept it if it's going to cost staff.
A pound of asphalt.
Anything like that. So we're trying to get to the point where we can maintain it. And this is where the city of Eureka wants to partner with us, which is a natural. And I've been out talking to quite a few people in the area, quite a few guys that are retired, very healthy and younger, about volunteer patrols. That they can, because you have to understand, right now it is being 400,000 acres is being patrolled by two people, by Green Diamond. We're taking 1,000 acres off their hands. I was out there. I've been out there probably 10 out of the last 16 days onto the McKay track, walking different parts of it and stuff like that. I've been taking my dogs out there. It's not like it's after work and I'm out there, but I mean,
this is a public service. This is regular.
It's just me trying to get some fat off. But I've been taking a look around on what dump sites are out there and stuff. The homeless issue, we have that everywhere, but it's very, very minor out there. It's not extreme. Somebody wrote the other day about.
So then, what's the biggest concern? The ongoing financial impact?
The biggest, that's going to be a positive. Our biggest impact is, we're going to have to create some trailheads, and we've decided we've got a couple places we can do temporary trailheads so people can access it. We're going to do the same thing that everybody else does. There's the trail stewards, the volunteer trail stewards who want to help build trails. We have Boy Scouts, we have SWAP. We can do some, the long-term road maintenance in there and things like that. I mean, that's going to take some time. It's going to take some money, but we don't have to do it the minute we accept it. But if the economy is getting better, do we want to look here 10 years from now? Do we want to look here 10 years from now and says, man, I sure wish we had that 1,000 acres to recreate on?
Well, you said in fallow, that's okay.
No, that's...
The initial heavy cost, and the concern, you mentioned like the parks. Is the goal for it to be at a level of California state parks, where it's just kind of natural and weeds grown all over the place, or Oregon state parks, where it's maintained and groomed more like a city park?
I don't think it'll have to be a city park. I think it's going to be an out in nature. Look at forests. I mean, I think there's so much. I've been raised here my whole life, and I've been out in a lot of the woods around here from Alder Point to up to Oreck and all that. And I guess this is a beautiful little chunk of property. It's kind of fun. And I mean, I'm.
So then, why is there a pushback by some of us about this whole thing?
Because, well, one of it is the original statement you said. Why are we buying it? We're not buying it.
So misinformation?
Misinformation is part of it. The other thing is people think it's going to take money away from other general fund services, and that's what we're trying. That's why that's the hardest thing we're working on right now, to make sure that isn't a factor. We may borrow. We may end up doing a long-term loan till it is class. See, at the end of the day, you've got to realize this is class one redwood soil growing ground, redwood forest. This is a class one redwood forest, which means they're growing like weeds out there.
So why not take the headwaters, a portion of the headwaters fund, and allocate it into this thing for those displaced loggers, possibly to at least maintain some jobs?
Headwaters used for some of the grant, City of Eureka, our natural resource division, and Headwaters did give us some money to make sure that we could do this. I mean, do the forestry, the long-term forestry, Green Diamond, Craig Compton at Green Diamond has been over backwards to make sure, Trust for Public Lands. There's a lot of moving parts to this, and I am trying to grasp them all. We're probably very lucky we have somebody, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, we have somebody like Hank Seaman at the head of the project, because there's no doubt in my mind we're going to get the best possible result saying, is this going to work? Now, Tom Mattson from Public Works says there are logs out there. We could actually probably, you know, sustain, like Arcata, sustainably log it, you know, select log it in probably 6-7 years. The thing is, it's like money in a bank, and it doesn't fluctuate. It grows 1 or 2%. It does not fluctuate. Trees grow the same rate. They don't, you know.
As long as the timber harvest plan doesn't get contested, like they just, and you can actually get the trees down.
And that, and that's you know. But that's, this is one of the neat things that are that this is one of the neat things we face, because it's, man, do I eat the cake or do I not worry about the weight I'm going to gain? I mean, there's always give and take on everything.
Yeah. Can you tell it's tough when two locals who have an attitude get together? KINS, information time. It's 3:45. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, as you look at the potential of this area being set aside that we were talking about, the McKay track portion of it, I guess, is probably more accurate. How do you see this thing coming down? If it's a profit center, great. If it's a profit cost, you'll be tarred and feathered. Okay. So what has to happen between now and the decision time in a couple of weeks to make everybody feel comfortable that this thing should go forth, or if, even if they don't agree with it in principle, that it, it's not, they can be reassured it will not be costing money.
We're going to come forth with a 50-year plan for the board. And when I say I, it's natural resources and dealing, working with Hank and Tom and the people there. And we've had consultants looking at it. We've done everything we can to make sure. At the end of this 50-year plan, I'm not going to be here to see it. But the thing is you and I are going to have family that is still here. And if somebody in 50 years looks and says, wow, this is great, we got 11, and this is the first phase. There's actually goes out to, there's two more phases. It could go all the way to 14 to 1,600 acres, all the way out to past Ridgewood towards Oak River. We get a win-win.
Isn't that called Forester Gill?
No, it's the wrong side of the road. But the other thing is, think about it, if we ever had Forester Gill, they got to walk somewhere too. But the big thing is, it takes away all options of ever a Forester Gill happening on that side of the road too. So it cuts off a little bit, and they were able to adjust the road, so we'll still be able to, if and when we ever have an access road out of Cutton, they move the lines so there can be an access road that goes out to Myrtle.
So this is not in opposition to an area bypass beltway, whatever you want to call it.
They actually spent about, they redrew the lines, and it took quite a bit of an effort to do that, and they did that so we could avoid the wetlands, so if we ever want to do an access road somewhere by Redwood Fields out.
So can we get, as part of this, earmarked monies for a beltway through that area to alleviate some of the traffic and the concerns through and Eureka?
No.
You almost had me.
We tried.
With a yes.
We tried. Yeah. Don't think that didn't pass. I mean, you have to look so far out. But one of the far things out is we need to provide recreation. We need to provide recreation so we're not having to drive everywhere to provide recreation, and we need to provide this for our citizens. That's forward thinking. That's what we're trying to do with this.
Thanks for coming by. You almost had me, man. Almost. That one little word.
Yes. I'm going to get you out hiking with me.
Oh, boy, will that be a sight.
I won't bring it back, guys.
Yeah, when I notice all the footprints are headed one way only, that should be a clue. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you'll see.